is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Joseph Umar. He is the executive director of Secure Free Society, based in Washington. And we turn immediately to the breaking news about Venezuela. Venezuela, a failed state, but now in ascendance with its allies throughout Latin America, throughout the Americas. The headline, however, comes from the Middle East. Then, under U.S. sanctions, Iran and Venezuela strike oil export deal. This is a doubly sanctioned arrangement between sanctioned Iran and sanctioned Venezuela. Lead paragraph. Venezuela has agreed to a key contract to swap its heavy oil for Iranian condensate that it can use to improve the quality of its tar-like crude, with the first cargoes due this week. As the South American country seeks to boost its flagging oil exports in the face of U.S. sanctions, according to sources, the deal between the state-run firm Petrolis de Venezuela and National Iranian Oil Company deepens the cooperation between two of Washington's foes. Joseph, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Venezuela and Iran working together. You at the Center for Secure Society have evidenced this for years, that Iran has an integral relationship with the serial of Venezuelan government. Chavez certainly, but Maduro at length. And that relationship has always been seen as marginal or opportunistic by Iran, a flight between Tehran and Caracas, or Hezbollah guerrillas showing up in Venezuela, perhaps for vacation, perhaps for bad acting. And then the Iranian officials who look with favor upon Venezuela, despite the fact that it's been sanctioned by the U.S. Now, of course, they're striking a deal together. Is this evidence of both countries learning to deal with these sanctions, both countries no longer worried about the intimidation of the United States? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. I think we have to begin quite a bit back, about 15 years ago, when Venezuela and Iran, more specifically when PDVSA, which is the Venezuelan state-owned energy firm, and the National Iranian Oil Company, signed their first deals. They signed their first deals back in 2006, 2007. And during that time frame, this was before Venezuela was sanctioned, well before Venezuela was ever sanctioned, and even before the big heavy sanctions on Iran started to begin. So the first point I think it's important to highlight is that Venezuela and Iran have a long-standing relationship that actually predates U.S. sanctions or even international sanctions on either of the countries. So their strategic vision for their bilateral cooperation began way before sanctions. So sanctions aren't the reason that they're working together. Obviously, they work together to evade sanctions, but that's not the primary motive. The second point, John, and I wrote an article for Southcom this past summer in their military magazine called Diálogo, and it was about Iran and Venezuela. And my main point in the article was, if there was a difference between the Chavez years in terms of Venezuela's relationship with Iran and the Maduro years, which has been obviously over the last 8 or 9 years since 2013, effectively, when Maduro rose to the presidency and Hugo Chavez died of cancer. If there is a difference, that difference is not in the nature of the relationship, but it's in the evolution of the relationship. I believe that the relationship between Iran and Venezuela has evolved, has grown, has gotten tighter and stronger during the Maduro years. That's not to say that they weren't strong during the Chavez years. They were. But as any other relationship that stands the test of time, they evolved to have new capacities and new dimensions. And one of those main evolutions between Iran and Venezuela over these years is the ability to legitimize their commercial cooperation. During the Chavez years, they had commercial cooperation. It was very sparse. It was very low profile. It wasn't very significant for either Venezuela or Iran. They had a lot of dual use concerns with because there's always military companies tied to a lot of Iran's commercial companies. And the National Iranian Oil Company, for example, has been referenced to be tied to the IRGC. But now what we're seeing in Venezuela is we're seeing a very open relationship that is very important for both countries, both commercially and in terms also of their humanitarian assistance in the case of Venezuela. So I think what we're seeing now is we're seeing a legitimization of this relationship, which is going to lead us to another direction, which I think is an eventual military relationship between the two. They have a relationship on this level. They have a military relationship, but they want to make it more visible. But in order to make their military relationship more visible, Iran and Venezuela have to legitimize their commercial relationship, and the energy industry, the oil and gas industry, is the way that they're doing it.
I read from the Gulf Times, speculating. U.S. sanctions programs not only forbid Americans from doing business with the oil sectors of Iran and Venezuela, but also threaten to impose, quote, secondary sanctions against any non-U.S. persons or entity that carries out transactions with other countries' oil companies. Secondary sanctions can carry a range of penalties among those against those targeted, including cutting off access to U.S. financial system, fines, or the freezing of U.S. assets. That's a significant weapon, Joseph. Does this mean, given the news is in Reuters, it's in the Gulf Times, does this mean that that Tehran and Caracas have found a way around or a way to ignore secondary sanctions, such as cutting off access?
Yeah, so when you have two countries that are heavily sanctioned, in this case Venezuela and Iran, you know, the ability for them to do operations amongst each other has to do with their ability to be able to circumvent those sanctions through third-party countries or through alternative financial conduits. Those third-party countries they've been using, and we've seen this both in terms of the flights that have gone from Iran to Venezuela or in the oil ships, the oil vessels that have gone. Remember in 2020 they had upwards of I can't remember exactly the quantity, but it was approximately about 2.35 million barrels of oil that was sent from Iran to Venezuela of gasoline in 2020. So all those oil vessels, the logistical routes that they take are often through countries that they are both aligned with, such as in the case of the flights, they were passing through Serbia, they were passing through Mauritania, they were passing through Libya. In the case of the vessels, they were passing through the coast of South Africa. So they look for these different choke points so that they can be able to logistically achieve these voyages. But the main third-party actor that facilitates the Iran-Venezuela ability to continue to do commercial transactions despite sanctions is China. John, actually, Reuters had a good piece on this about a month or two ago where they talked about how a sanctioned Chinese logistics firm called China Concord Petroleum Company is essentially the main actors, plays a central role in chartering the ships that Iran has sent to Venezuela over pretty much the entire of 2020 and into 2021. This is during just 2 months in this year. I think it was in April and May of this year. This was about 20% of Venezuela's total oil imports and about 30% of their total oil exports going back out to the Middle East and to China. So China plays a big role in facilitating the Iran-Venezuela relationship. And we've seen this going all the way back to the Chavez years. Iran, when it became heavily sanctioned by the international community, specifically after Security Council Resolution 1747 from the United Nations, Iran turned to China to be able to use China's financial system to be able to triangulate its trade with Venezuela. So they've been doing this for a long time, and I think it's about time, I think, that we start focusing on China as one of those countries that can be open to secondary sanctions for facilitating Iran and Venezuela's oil trade.
Why does it matter that Maduro and Tehran are making a swap deal? I read from the Gulf Times. A source familiar with the matter said the swap arrangement between Venezuela and Iran has been on the radar screens of U.S. government officials as a likely sanctions violation. However, U.S. officials are concerned that Iranian diluent shipments could help provide Nicolas Maduro with more of a financial lifeline as he negotiates with the Venezuelan opposition towards elections. Let's go to those negotiations, Joseph, because you reported some weeks past that hosted in Mexico City by the president, López Obrador, at the Museum of Anthropology, the negotiations heavily favored Maduro. Does this lifeline, as the Gulf Times calls it, does this also favor Maduro? Is he winning those negotiations?
Yeah, John, really, there's no way that the opposition can win the negotiations in Mexico City. This is really a negotiation that's one-sided, and it's set up for Maduro to legitimize himself as the president of Venezuela. We got to remember over the last two or plus years, since 2019, essentially, that more than 50 countries around the world, mostly democracies in Europe and Latin America have not recognized Maduro as a legitimate president because he was never elected under a free election. And he's, in a sense, since he's usurped the role of the presidency inside Venezuela. So his main goal with the negotiations is to essentially remove that obstacle and have the international community recognize him as the president, because the Venezuelan opposition will end up recognizing him as the president. But moving kind of to the concern about how this levies with these international actors, and let me kind of go back to what you were saying, John, with the sanctions and the concern on Iran. And it's not just the fact that they're violating sanctions. We have to remember why sanctions are placed on these specific companies in the first place. The reason, for instance, the National Iranian Oil Company has sanctions on it is because its ties to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, and the potential, and also, and I'd say even probable use or dual use for military applications. What we're concerned with mostly when it comes to Iran and Venezuela is the ability for Iran to use Venezuela as a platform that allows it to insert IRGC operatives into the Western Hemisphere and to levy that platform to the point where we will have at some point a military, an active military presence by Iran in the Caribbean. This is something that's not being talked about in the negotiations, but it's something that Maduro needs to legitimize himself to be able to carry forward into that phase of his operations. And I think that's what we have to think about when, because you're right, you made a great point, John, in the sense that if this was simply commercial transactions in terms of Venezuelan receiving gasoline or exporting crude, we shouldn't have a problem with that. That's just normal trade. But the problem with both of these regimes, whether it's the Maduro regime in Venezuela or the Iranian regime in the Middle East, is that they use their commercial activity oftentimes as a cover for more nefarious activity. And oftentimes that activity has military dimensions. And I think that's what we're concerned with. We're concerned that Iran and the Maduro regime will turn the Caribbean into something that more resembles the Persian Gulf or the Straits of Hormuz. And I think that that's what most officials are concerned of. That's why they have sanctioned those entities.
I'm speaking with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. We go to Mexico next because the problems at the American border, especially these last days, are not solved by the immigrants, the migrants staying in Mexico. Mexico itself is overwhelmed, and what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.